B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos daf ayin ches, and we're going to start seven lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, Mayim k'dei lo shuf bohen es akiloir. We saw that the amount of water that if you carry it on Shabbos you're chayev is as much as you need to mix together with the paste, that a more solid type of paste that when mixed with water is then able to become an eye paste, something that they would cover their eyes with, and they would use that as healing when the eye needed healing. Omar Abaya, Mechti kol milsa de shchicha velo yishchicha. When the Chachamim decided and told us what's considered the measurement, the amount, that if it's carried on Shabbos is chayev, and the rule is that if one carries something which is of value, which is substantial, then one is chayev. And the Chachamim told us in every item, as we've seen so far, and we're going to continue seeing, the Chachamim tell us what's the measurement that's considered valuable, and carrying it on Shabbos will make him chayev. So the rule is that whenever a specific item, a specific object or food item is used also for something that's shchiach, that's commonly used for something, and also used for something but not commonly, that's called shchicha v'loy shchicha. Ozul rabbanon bosos de shchicha l'kula. The Chachamim would say that what makes this item valuable, what makes the amount that you need in order to carry and become chayev, is whatever's the common use for this particular item. And even though it's a kula, if the common use is only used in a larger shiur than the not common use, then one will only be chayev if one carries the larger use, the larger measurement, which is the more common use of this item. Shchicha v'lo yishchicha, ozul rabbonon bosa de shchicha l'kula. Shchicha or shchicha, if there's two different uses of the same item, and both of them are common, ozul rabbonon bosa de shchicha l'chumra, then the Chachamim were machmir, and they said whichever of the two uses is a smaller measurement, that's already called a valuable, a choshva measure amount of the item, and carrying it on Shabbos will be chayiv. Yayin, in the case of wine, shsiyaso yishchicha, it's common to drink it. And drinking, we know, the amount that's considered drinking is a revius. Refuaso yishchicha, to use it as refua, to put it into the paste, to mix the paste for the kiloir that was put on the eyes, that's not so common. Ozul rabbonon bososh siyaso, and therefore the Chachamim said that the shi'ur of carrying it to make a person chayev is what's more common, and that is drinking it, and that's a revius. To shchicha and lekula, because the amount you need in order to soften this paste, the kiloir, is much, much less than revius. But the Chachamim said, no, since drinking the wine is something commonly done, using it for the paste is not commonly done, you'll only be chayev if you carry a revius. Cholov, regarding milk, achilaso yishchicha, it was common to drink it. Refuaso ilo yishchicha, it was not so common to mix it into the kiloir. Ozul rabbonon bosar achilaso ilo kula, and here again the Chachamim said that the measurement is the amount that one would typically drink, and that is kedei gmiya, as we saw, the amount that a person would swallow. Dvash, honey, achilaso yishchicha, it was common to eat it. Refuaso yishchicha, and to use it for refua, as we saw, to put it onto the sores of the camels or the horses, that's also shchiach. Ozul rabbonon bosa refuaso ilochumra, so they took the smaller amount of the two, and they said that the shiur is as much as one would need to put onto a sore of these animals. And now the Gemara asks, Elomayim, regarding water, mechtesh siyaso yishchicha, refuaso ilo yishchicha. It's common to drink. Anyone in the world that's thirsty drinks water. To use it to soften the paste, the kiloir, is lo yishchicha, is not shchiach. So we would have thought that the amount you have to carry to be chayev is a revius. But we just saw now, at the beginning of the sugya, in the Mishnah it says that mayim is kedei loshuf benes akiloir. My tama ozel rabbonon boser ufuase luchumra. Why did the Chachomim say that it's a smaller shiur luchumra, even though using it to mix with this paste is not common, versus drinking, which is common? There's going to be two answers in the Gemara. Omar Abaya, beglila shonu. Abaya says that the shiur mentioned in the Mishnah, that water is the amount that you carry to be chayev, is a little bit, just as much as you need to soften this paste, that was talking about in glila. And over there, they were very poor people, and they only ever mixed this paste with water. They did never mixed it with milk, they never mixed it with wine, only with water. And therefore, using it for refuah was also shchiach. And as we saw before, if you have two uses that are shchiach, the chachamim were machmir for the smaller size. Rava Omar, Rava says, afilu teime b'shar mekemis, even other places where people were not so poor, and they could use other things for refuah, and that would mean that water to be used for the kiloir is loy shchiach, and therefore the shiur to carry the water to be chayev should be the shsia, which is a revius. Says the Gemara, no kedush Shmuel, the Mishnah who said that the shiur of water is kedei loshuf benes akiloir is following Shmuel's opinion. Da'oma Shmuel, kol shakyoni, all liquids, mosu, when one uses them in for this paste, they cure, umetalili, but they cover over the eye, that it's not transparent, and a person can't see when this paste is on his eye. Lebar mimaya, besides for water, de mosu veloy metaloli, it cures, but it does not obscure the vision of the eye, and therefore everybody would use water, or it would be more shchiach to use water for the refuah. And therefore, when the Chachomim were machmir, that the shiur of carrying water on Shabbos to be chayev is this smaller shiur. V'shar kol amashkin b'revius. All other liquids that were not mentioned in the Mishnah to have a smaller shiur, all the other liquids, if one drinks them, the shiur of drinking is typically a revius, and therefore carrying a revius is chayev, carrying less than a revius will not be chayev. Tanu Rabbanon. Dam v'chol mine mashkin, blood and other liquids, b'revius, carrying them on Shabbos will be chayev if he carried a revius. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, dam, Reb Shimon ben Elazar argues and says that blood, kedei likchol ba'ayin achas, in order to apply it to one eye, shekein koichlin leborkis, because they would apply blood to a borkis in order to heal a speck. When there was a protruding speck on an eye, they would try and heal it by applying blood to it. Umay niu dama, which blood was used to heal the specks protruding from the eye? The tarnagoilis bra, a hen that was a wild hen, not a hen that was living within the human settlements. Shimon Gamliel says, "Dam, the amount that you need to carry blood to be chayev on Shabbos, kedei likchil b'ayin achas." He also says it's as much as one needs to apply to one eye, but he gives a different explanation. Not because they would use blood in order to heal a protruding speck in the eye, rather shekein koichlin li'oroid, because they would apply it to an eye if there was a cataract in the eye that was disturbing a person's vision, they would apply blood to it. Umayniu, which blood would be applied to an eye to try and cure a cataract? Doma de krushtina, the blood of a mole. V'simonach, how am I going to remember which animal cures which ailment of the eye? Goy legoy. Goy means inside. An animal that is typically found among in the habitat where the human settlements are, where people live, which is the mole, that cures legoy, an illness which is inside the eye, which is within. It's a confined illness, which is the cataract. Bra, but the hen that lives in the wild, that's the one that cures the bra, lebroik, it cures the illness of the eye, which is a protrusion, which is outside of the eye, it's beyond the eye, and that is the protruding specks in the eye. And that's how you can remember. Continues the Braisa, b'med dvarim amurim b'moitzi. all these shiurim that we've seen is for somebody who carries them on Shabbos. Avol b'matznia, but somebody who hides them on Shabbos, kol shehu chayev, he's chayev even in a shiur, in a measurement that's much smaller than all those mentioned here. Reb Shimon Oimer, Reb Shimon says, and this is the third time that we've seen Reb Shimon, b'med dvarim amurim b'matznia, all the shiurim, all the measurements given, is talking about somebody who hid it. Aval b'moitzi, but somebody who takes it out, and he didn't hide it, einu chayev elo b'ravias, then all the smaller shiurim don't apply, and with all liquids, the shiur is a ravias. And the Gemara is soon going to explain, what does this mean? Matznia, if you're hiding, not hiding, carrying, we're only talking about carrying, where does hiding come into it? The Gemara is going to explain that in a moment. Umoidim chachomim l'Reb Shimon, the chachomim agree to Reb Shimon, b'moitzi sheifchin, that if somebody carries wastewater, and we'll soon see why it has any value whatsoever, why it should be chayiv at all, but if somebody carries wastewater, l'rushus harabim into l'rushus harabim, sheshi'uron revius, the shiur is a revius, even if he did not hide it. In that, in this one aspect, they agree to Reb Shimon. Omer Mar. And now we're going to explain this braisa. B'med dvarim amurim b'moitzi, you said in the braisa that all these shiurim, all these measurements, is for somebody who's just carrying. Avol b'matznia, if he hid it, these items, kol shehu, then the shiur is much smaller. It's any amount that he hid. Ask the Gemara, otu matznia lav moitzihu, is hiding also not talking about that he carried it? So he hid it first, and then he took it out of its hiding place, and he carried it. What's the difference between carrying and hiding? Omar Abaya explains hochab ma'eskin, and this is what we're talking about. B'talmid she'omar lo'i raboi, an apprentice whose master told him, leichu pnei li amokim l'suda, make space, clear the areas that we can eat. And this apprentice, he carried away some of the things that were here. He carried it into Rishus HaRabim. Davar choshuv lakoil, if it's something which is a substantial and a valuable measurement that's choshuv for everybody, chayev ilavei, then that's the measure that he's chayev, as we saw all the measurements until now in the Mishnayos. Davar she'enei choshuv lakoil, if it's much smaller measurement than what's typically valued by people, i'atznoi rebi, if his master first hid it and therefore showed that it was valuable to him, mechayev ilavei, then this apprentice for carrying them is going to be chayev, even if it's a very small shiur that's not valued by anybody besides for the master. How do we know it's valuable to the master? Because he hid it, he put it away. Ve'iloi loy mechayev, but if it's a small shiur and the master did not hide it first, then if he just carries it, he's going to be potur. And Rashi explains here that if we look carefully, this braisa is Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And we've already seen that Reb Shimon ben Elazar holds that if one person hides even a smaller shiur of any item, then it's not only choshev to him, but anybody else that carries it afterwards is also going to be chayev. We can understand if I give value to a small amount of this item and I carry it, I'll be chayev. But if somebody else gives value to it, why should I be chayev if I carry it? The answer is, since the owner valued it, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, anyone that carries it is going to be chayev. And therefore, the example given here in the Gemara, Abaye gave an example of a student, of an apprentice, that moved the items that were valuable to his master in his master's eyes, and that's what is chayev. So when the Braisa says there's matznia and there's moitzi means if you just carry it with no specific indication as to whether it's choshev or not, and then we have to resort to the shiurim the chachomim gave to tell us whether it's choshev. However, if he first hid it and the owner showed that it's valuable, even a much smaller shiur, and then he took it away from its hiding place and he carried it, that's when it's going to be chayev, even if it's a smaller shiur. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar, we saw in that braisa, Moidim Chachomim l'Reb Shimon, the Chachomim agreed to Reb Shimon, but Moitzi Shoifchin is somebody who did not hide the Shoifchin, and he just carried the Shoifchin, then he's only chayev for a revius. If he carried it, l'shus harabim, sheshuron b'revius. Asks the Gemara, Shoifchin, this wastewater, L'may chozu? What's it good for? Why does it have any value? Says the Gemara Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, L'gabil b'enes atit, it can be used to knead the clay. Well, Tanya asks the Gemara, you're talking about the amount that you need to knead clay? And that is a revius? Votanya, the Braisa says, tit, clay itself, what shiur is called choshev to carry on Shabbos, kedilasis ben pi kur, to be used for the opening, not to make an opening, or the Ritva says to put around the opening, to smoothen the opening of a crucible. And that's a very, very small shear. So you don't need a revius of water for the amount of clay that you need for the piyakur. Says the Gemara Loi Kashya. Hod migbal, hod loi migbal. When you're talking about clay that hasn't yet been mixed with water, there nobody would mix clay with such a small amount. It's too much bother, too much effort. A person would only mix clay if there's a whole revius, a revius of water into the mud and make that into clay. That's the shiur. Once you have the clay, then how much of the clay is valuable, even just a small amount. But a person, even if he needs just a small amount, he won't just need a small amount, it's too much effort. He'll make a whole revius of water with however much clay it needs. He'll use a little bit for what he needs and he'll use the rest for something else. Hod migbal hod loy migbal lefi she'ein adam tereach legabil tit la'aseis bo ikur. A person would not need a clay if all he's going to use it for is for the mouth of this crucible, and therefore that's not the shiur. The shiur of this wastewater, which can only be used for clay, is a whole revius, because that's the minimum amount a person would need clay with. Continues the Gemara. Says the next Mishnah, Hamoitzi Chevel, somebody who carries a rope on Shabbos, how much of a rope does he have to carry that's called Choshev, that's substantial, that is Chayev? Kedei la'asos oizen lekupo, as much as he needs in order to make a handle for a basket. Gemi, somebody who carries reed grass, kedei la'asos tzloi lenapa ulechaboro, it's as much as he needs to make a loop to hang up a sieve. A napa and a kabara we've seen is two different types of sieves. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedei litel mimenu midas manul lekotn, min al lekotn. These reed grass, you don't need so much. You don't need what it takes to make a loop to hang up a sieve. The amount you need is to show a shoemaker how long a little child's foot is, and to tell him you want shoes to that size. So as much as you need just to be able to show somebody the length of the foot of a child, that's how much. If you carry it on Shabbos, it's substantial and you're chayiv. Niyar, if somebody carries paper, how much paper does he have to carry to be chayiv? Kedei lichtoiv olov kesher moichsin, big enough that you can write on it a tax collector's receipt. Vamoitzi kesher muchsin, this is a poshut halacha, somebody who carries the receipt of a tax collector, chayev, he's chayev. And Tosfos here in Amud Beis asks, what's the chiddush? And Tosfos says that even if it's written on klaf, on parchment, and normally parchment is chayev only for bigger shiur, as we're about to see, there's a chiddush that if it's already been used as a tax collector's receipt, then it's chayev even if it's that small, even if it's written on parchment. Continues the Gemara, Niyar, the Mishnah, Niyar mochok, paper that's been rubbed out and you cannot use it, you cannot write on it, kedei likroich al tzluchis ketanos al pleitun, then the amount that's called choshev, that's given value and substance, that if you carry it, your chayev is as much as you need to wrap the top of a flask, a small flask carrying this pleitun oil, and that's as much as it's called choshev if you carry it, your chayev. Oyer, skin, hides, leather, kedei la'asos kamia, as much as you need to be able to write an amulet on it. Tuchsustus kedei lichtoiv mezuzah, klaf, kedei lichtoiv olav parashok tano shebetfilin, parchment, as much as you need in order to write the smallest of the four parashas of the Tefillin. And the Mishnah tells us, Shehi Shema Yisrael, it's the parasha of Shema Yisrael. We know that in the Tefillin, there's four parashas, Shema Vahoyim Shemaya, Kadesh and Vahoyo Ki Yivyacho. The shortest is Shema. The size parchment that you need in order to write the parasha of Shema, that's as much as if you carry that parchment, you're chayev on Shabbos. Dioi, if you carry ink on Shabbos, kadei lichtov beis oisius, as much ink as you need to write two letters. Choil, eye paint, kadei likchoil ayin achas, as much as you need to paint one eye. Devek, glue, kadei litein beroish hashifshuf, in as much as you need to put on the head of a board, and the Gemara is going to explain this. Zephes v'gofris, pitch and sulfur, as much as you need, kadei lasois nekev, to make a hole, an opening. And Rashi explains that typically what they would do is, if they would have a barrel with some soft raw metal in it, then they would close up the opening with zephes or gofris, with either pitch or with sulfur, and then they would make, in the pitch and the sulfur, they would make an opening in order to allow the metal to slowly trickle out as much as they want out, and then they would refill it, the little hole that was made in the original filling, they would then refill it to stop it up, to block it up, so no more should come out. As much sulfur or pitch that one needs to fill up that inner hole, that smaller hole, that's what we're talking about here. That's as much as if you carry on Shabbos, you're chayiv. That's how the run on Daf Ayin Tes explains this. Shavo, somebody who carries wax on Shabbos, kadei litein al pi nekev cotton, as much as it needs in order to stop up a small opening of the barrel, they would make an opening to let out the wine or whatever was in the barrel, and we would then block it up with wax. That's as much wax as if you carry it, it's choshuv and you chayev. Charosis, crushed bricks, kedei lasis pi kur shel tzorfei zov, in order to put onto the mouth, to make a mouth of the crucible of the gold refiners. And I don't know exactly what this is, but it was obviously they would use this crushed brick in order to make the opening or to secure the opening, and that's as much as if you carry it, you chayev. Rabbi Huda Omer, kdei lasois pitput, as much crushed brick that they would use for a tripod. And there's different explanations. What is it that the tripod needs of this crushed brick? Is it some cracks in the tripod? Or there's other explanations. Subin, somebody carries bran, kedei litein al pi kur shel tzorfei zahav, again, the gold refiners, they would put this bran, they would use this bran in the mouth of the crucible, and Rashi explains, in a place where coals were not common, then they would heat up this crucible with a fire of bran, not with coals. Sid, if somebody carries lime on Shabbos, kedei losud ktano shebebonois, as much as he needs to smear on the little finger of a girl, of a small girl, and they would use it to take off, to remove the hairs, as little as one is able to put onto a small limb of a girl, that's as much as is called choshev to carry on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedei lasois kalkol, as much as it needs to straighten out the hair on the temples. Rav Nechemya Omer, kedei losud undofi, and as much as it needs in order to put on the child, on this person's forehead. Says the Gemara, Chevel nami lechayev kedei lasu tzlai lenapa ulechaboro. We saw in the Mishnah that rope is only chayev on Shabbos if you take out as much as you need to make a handle of a kupa, of a basket, which is quite a big sized handle. But the reed grass, the gemi, it's enough if you make a loop to be able to hold the napa of a chaboro. The question is, why don't we say that even rope is chayev on Shabbos if you take out just a small amount to make a loop for the napa of a chaboro? Says the Gemara, kiven dechorik b'mono. Since this rope is made of coarse material, it's going to scratch, it's going to cause a gravis in the utensils, and therefore they would not use the rope for the nap of a chabor. And therefore, lo yavdu intri, people don't use it for that, and therefore the smallest thing that people use rope for is to make a handle for the baskets, and that's the shear that if you carry on Shabbos, you're chayev. Tanu rabbanon, hutzin, these are branches of a palm tree, kedei la'asois oizen lesel kfifo mitzris. This, as much as it takes to make a handle for a basket that's made of palm barks. Sieve, if somebody carries the palm vine, which is another part of the palm, cotton, as much as one would need to put onto a small funnel, to strain the wine with it, and they would put this sieve, this palm vine, on the funnel, and as much as is needed for this funnel, if you carry it on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Revav, if somebody carries grease on Shabbos, kedei losuch tachas aspogin ktano, as much as he needs to smear under a small wafer. Before they bake this wafer, they would smear the bottom of it, the part that's attached to the oven, and as much as one needs, as much grease as they needed to smear the base of these wafers, that's what you chayiv if you carry on Shabbos. V'kamo shi'ura, how big does this wafer have to be that the grease that they use to cover the base of it is chayiv? Kesela, the size of a sela, a coin. V'tanya asks the Gemara, kegregris, that the amount of grease that is chayiv on Shabbos if he carries it is as much as he needs to smear a wafer the size of a dried fig. Says the Gemara, idi v'idi chad shi'uruhu, a dried fig is the same measure as a sela. Continues the Braisa, Muchin, if somebody carries cotton on Shabbos, Kedelas is kador ktano, it's as much as he needs in order to make a small ball. Vekamosh yuroi, how big does that ball have to be? Keego is the size of a nut. Continues the Gemara, Niar kedelichtoiv olov kesher muchsin. We saw in the Mishnah that the amount of paper that one carries on Shabbos to be chayev is as much as it takes to write the size of a receipt from a tax collector. Tana, we learned in a brisa, and there's going to be three brisas discussing this, and we're going to try and have to make seder with these brisas. Kamo kesher muchsin. What is the size of a receipt of a tax collector? Shtei oisiyos, the two big letters, not the regular letters, because the typical tax collectors, their receipt would be two large letters. Asks the Gemara, Raminu, this seems to be contrary to another brisa. Brisa number two, Hamoitzi niyar cholok, somebody who takes a plain, clean sheet of paper and carries it on Shabbos, im yesh b'kidei lichtov shtei oisio, he's chayev. He's chayev if it's big enough to write two letters. And it's not only two big letters, it's two regular small letters. V'im lav, if it's not big enough to write two small letters, potter, then he's going to be potter if he carries it on Shabbos. And from here you see that the amount of paper that you carry on Shabbos to be chayev is to write two small letters. And that seems to contradict brisa number one that says that the paper, which the Mishnah says that the shiur is the receipt of the tax collectors, and the shiur of the tax collectors is two big letters. Omer of Sheshus says it's not a contradiction. Mai shtei oisiyos, the brisa that says that you chayev if you take out a paper that's got space of two oisiyos, and we thought it means two small oisiyos, shtei oisiyos shel kesher moichsin. It's talking about the two letters the same size as the receipt of a tax collector, which are bigger letters, and then the two brises are not contradicting each other. Rava Omar. Rava argued with Rav Sheshes and said, shtei oisiyos didon ubeis achiza. The brisa that says two letters, it means paper that's big enough that you can write two small letters and also be able to hold it. It has a margin to be able to hold it. Dehainu kesher muhsin, a piece of paper which is big enough for two small letters plus a margin to hold is exactly the same size as a receipt from a tax collector, which the two letters written on it are bigger letters, but there's no need for a receipt, for a margin, because the typical receipt of a tax collector was held open in a person's palm, and he did not hold the sides of it. And since he didn't hold the sides, we don't need a margin. Two small letters plus the margin is the same as two big letters. That's how Rava answered the contradiction. Meisve, we're going to ask a contradiction on a question on Rava from a third brisa. Hamoitzi nyar mochuk. If somebody carries paper that's already been erased, you cannot write on it. Ushtar parua, or if you had a document that's of a loan that's already been paid off, and also it cannot be used to write on it. I mean, there's two pieces of paper that, for all intents and purposes, you cannot really use it to write, and therefore it's got no value, and therefore carrying it on Shabbos should be potur. However, says the Braisa, im yesh b'loiven sheloi, if in its margins of these two types of paper there's enough space, k'dei lichtov shtei oisyos, in order to write two letters, oy b'kuloi, or if the whole thing is big enough, k'dei lichrei chalpit sluchis k'tano, in order to wrap it on a small flask, shel plaitun, carrying this oil of plaitun, then it's already got value, and then it's going to be chayev. Vim lav potur, if not, he's going to be potur. So says the Gemara, Bishleimel Rav Sheshes, according to Rav Sheshes, who says, the Omar, my shte oisyos, what's called two oisyos? Shte oisyos shel keshe muhsin, the two big letters of the size of a tax collector's receipt. Shapir, then we can understand that. And this Brisa says that if you have such a type of a piece of paper, that most of the paper is valueless. But if you have enough space in the margin to write two letters, meaning two big letters, then it's chayev, because then it's like a typical piece of paper that's got value. You can write these two big letters on it. According to Rava, who says that you're chayev when you have two letters plus a margin to hold it, and that is the total of what it takes to write two big letters of a tax collector's receipt. Over here, with this document, you don't need a margin, because you can hold the paper where it's been erased. You can hold the paper where there's this document, this whatever's been written, that's not the important part of this piece of paper. You can hold the piece of paper from there. So when the Braiser says, k'dei lichtov shtei oisyos, then it must mean just two small letters, not including the margins, because you don't need the margin for this type of piece of paper. And then it's enough if the margin is big enough to hold just two small letters. And that's contrary to what we said before, that according to Rava, if you just write two small letters, it's not chayiv on Shabbos. And here you see a brisa that according to Rava, the two letters here, which Rava says always two letters means two small letters, is two small letters without a margin. Before he said it's only with the margin. Kasha, so it's a question on Rava, and the Gemara chooses not to answer it. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, we saw in the Braisa, Hamoitzi Kesher Muhsin, somebody who carries a tax collector's receipt on Shabbos, Adche Loihir Eu Lemoichus, all the while he has not yet shown it to the tax collector. Chayev, he's chayev because it has value. He needs to show it to the tax collector. He has a receipt that he paid the tax. Mishehar eu lemoichus, but after he's already shown it to the tax collector, potur. At that point, it's a useless document. He doesn't need it anymore. And since it's a useless piece of paper, it carrying it on Shabbos, he'll be potur. It won't be chayev. Rabbi Huda Omer. Rabbi Huda argues and says, Af mishehar eu lemoichus, even after he's already shown it to the tax collector, it's still got value. We'll soon see why. Chayev, and he's chayev if he carries it on Shabbos. Mipnei shetzarich lo, because he still needs it, even though he's already shown it to the tax collector. Asks the Gemara, Mai beinayu, on what's their point of argument? What's the discussion here? Whether you still need the receipt after you've already shown it to a tax collector? There's going to be a few different explanations. Omar Abaya says, Ike beinayu rehite muhsa. The tax collectors would often send runners chasing after people to check or to accuse them or to make sure that they've paid. And if the runners, if you cannot prove to these runners that you've paid, they'll take you back to the head tax collector and they'll make you pay again. So the question, the discussion here was in the Braisa, according to the Chachomim, they say that it's fine. If the runners catch me, I'll go back to the tax collector and I'll tell him that I've paid, and that's fine. He'll remember that I've paid. But Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says that a person is going to keep this document, this receipt, in order to show it to these runners, so the runners shouldn't bother taking them back to the head tax collector, and therefore it still has value. Rava Omar. Rava says, Moichus Godel or Moichus Cotton Ikabeinayu. When there was a chief tax collector, and there was a subordinate, a smaller, a more minor tax collector, and that's what they were arguing. And typically, the chief tax collector was not the one that's going to be waiting on the bridge, stopping you from passing. It's only going to be this Moichus Cotton that's going to stop you. So the Tanakhama say that since when I paid, the chief tax collector gave me a sign, a code, to tell the small tax collector that yes, you've paid, and they'll let you through. And therefore, you don't need the receipt anymore. You just need the receipt once to show the main tax collector. Once you've shown him, he'll give you the code, and you'll tell the small tax collector, you'll tell him the code. Verbally, you don't need the receipt. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you still need the receipt in order to show it to this small tax collector, so he should let you pass. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, Chad Moichus Ikabeinayu, that the truth is that you don't need, everybody agrees you don't need it here for this river to be able to pass. You've paid your tax, you've got your receipt, you've shown it to the tax collector, that's enough. What's the discussion? Is there any value in keeping this document in another city? If you go to another city, and there they may accuse you of trying to not pay taxes. So if you have a receipt from a tax collector of a different city showing that you've paid taxes, you can show that you're an honest person and you're not trying to evade tax, and therefore you'll keep it. So Rabbi Yehuda says that such a person will keep this receipt to show it to other people in other cities and towns to prove that he's a straight person, and therefore it still has value. And that's what the Gemara says. Ravashi Omar Chad Moichus Ikabeinayu, talking about that the truth is that there's only one tax collector here. You want to show it to a different tax collector in a different place. He wants to tell him, look, I'm a type of person that pays taxes, I don't evade taxes, and therefore I'm an honest person, you don't need to accuse me. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbonon. Hamoitzi shtar choiv, somebody who carries a document, that a loan document, document that had written in it that somebody borrowed money from somebody else. Achaloi poroi, all the while that the loan has not been paid off, and there's obviously value in this document. Chayev, if you carry it on Shabbos, you're chayev. Misha poroi, after you've already, the document's been paid off, potor, then there's no more value. And if you carry on Shabbos, you'll be potter. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af misha poroi chayev, even after the loan has been paid off, he's still chayev for carrying it, mipnei shetzorich loy, because you need the document. And the Gemara is asking again, Mai beinayu, on what's the point of contention? What are they arguing about? What's the discussion? And there's going to be here four different explanations. Omer of Yosef, and till now, I've especially avoided explicitly saying who's holding this shtar, who's going out, who's carrying this document on Shabbos. Is it the malveh, the lender, or is it the loiveh, the borrower? And we're going to see now. Omer of Yosef, Osur Lishois Shtar Parua Ikabeinayu. We're talking here that the lender is the one that's going out with, is carrying this on Shabbos. And there's a halacha, Rav Yosef says that they're arguing whether a shtar parua, a loan, a document of a loan that's already been paid off, and for whatever reason, the lender still has this shtar. There's no good reason he should. He should have given it to the borrower. But the question is the lender allowed to hold on to a shtar that's been paid off? Rabbonon Tzavri, the Chachomim say, Osur lishoyis shtar perua. It's also to keep such a shtar. You have to get rid of it. And therefore, there's no value to it. And therefore, your potter, once it's been paid off. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, mutar lishoyis shtar perua. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to keep such a shtar. And since you're allowed to keep such a shtar, then you can use such a shtar. What can you use it for? You can use it to cover a flask, as we saw before. Lichrei chatzleichis. If it's big enough that you can use it to cover a flask, it's got a use, it's got some value, and you're chayev if you carry it. However, according to the Chachomim, it's an issa to hold such a shtar, and therefore is no value to it, and he'll be potter if he carries it. That was Rav Yosef. Abaye Omar? Abaye says no. The kule alma osu lishoyis shtar perua. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to keep a loan, a document of a loan, after it's been paid off, then the lender is not allowed to keep this shtar. So what they're arguing about? V'hocha b'moida b'shtar shekosvoy shetzorich lekaimoy kumiflegi. And this is a sugis elsewhere in Shas, but the way it goes is as follows. Any document that's typically is being written and then signed by witnesses. If two witnesses come forward and say, we verify these are our signatures, then this document is a valid document and you can force the borrower to pay based on this document. If these two witnesses don't come forward, but another two witnesses come forward and say, we can attest, we can testify that these are the signatures of those two people and they're not forged, then again, the document has been verified and the borrower has to pay. What happens if one cannot verify the signatures? But the borrower himself says, I agree that this shtar was actually written and I borrowed money based on this shtar. That's called b'moida b'shtar shekosui. If he agrees that the shtar was written, even though it hasn't been verified from an outside source. The question is, since it's only verified by the borrower himself saying so, then it could be that the borrower can say, yeah, I did borrow, but I'm the one that's telling you that that this was once a legal document. Well, I'm also telling you that I've paid off already. And haper she'osa, hu haper she'hitet, there's a rule that if you need me in order to assume that this is a valid document, you also have to believe me that it's no longer got any value because it's been paid off. So that's the question. After the borrower says, I admit that this was a document that I borrowed money with, is he then believed to say that I've paid off the loan or not? And that's the argument. That we're talking about a case where it was the borrower who agreed that this document was a valid document. They're arguing, does he also have to admit, I have not yet paid up, in order to allow the lender to force him to pay? Or no? Or even if he doesn't, and then if he says, I have paid, then the document has no longer got any use. Or do we say, Tanakama sova moide b'shtar shekosvoy tzorich lekaimoy? He has to say, I haven't yet paid. And if he says, I have paid, then the document is no longer got any use. Rabbi Yehuda says, moide b'shtar shekosvoy ain't tzorich lekaimoy. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if he says that I've paid, we don't believe him. If you agreed that this was a valid document and you borrowed money based on this document, all the while that the lender is holding this shtar, it's proof that you haven't yet, it should be proof that you haven't yet paid off. You have to pay. You're not believed to say that I haven't paid. We don't need you to verify that this is a loan that's not yet been paid off. Ein tzorich lekaimoy, and therefore, even if he says I've paid, we don't believe him, and the document is valid. And that's really what the Braisa means. The Gemara is about to explain that when the Braisa says, Ad sheloi por oi chayev, mishe por oi potur, it doesn't mean that he's paid. It means he claims that he's paid. If the borrower claims that this is a good shtar, but I have already paid off, then potur, then this document has no longer got any use, and carrying on Shabbos is like carrying something without value. Rav Yehuda says, af mishe por oi, even if he claims that he's paid, we don't know that he's paid, he claims that he's paid, we don't believe him. because Ein Tzorich L'Kaimoi, the moment you agree that this was a legal document, that this the loan did happen based on this document, you're not believed to say you didn't pay. And therefore there's value to it even after you claim that you paid off. And therefore Chayev. And that's what the Gemara says. Umay atchaloi poroi umisha poroi. What does it mean, the words in the Braisa, until he pays, from when he's paid? We're not talking about that anything's been paid. We don't know if anything's been paid. Says the Gemara, it means atche yoime loive porati, until the borrower says, I've paid off. According to the Chachomim, the Tanakama, atchaloi poroi, if he doesn't say I've paid off, he says I have not yet paid off, then chayev, it's a valid document, and you're chayev. Or misha poroi means that when he claims that I've paid off, then he's believed, because tzorich lekaimoi, it's only a valid document if the borrower himself agrees that he hasn't yet paid off, and here he says he has paid off, and therefore it's a useless piece of paper, and you're potter if you carry it on Shabbos. And according to Rav Yehuda, it'll be chayev. That's what the Gemara says. So when the Braisa says Misha Poroi, it means that he says I've paid. When he says Loi Poroi, it means he hasn't said that he's paid. That was Abaye's explanation of the Machlekas. Rava Omar, Dekule Alma Moide Beshtar Shekosvoi Tzorich Lekaimoi. Everybody agrees that if he says that I've already paid, he's believed, and there's no value whatsoever left to this document. So what are they arguing about? Why does Rav Yehuda say that if you go out with this document, you're chayev? So, and it must be, says Rashi, we're talking about a shtar that's been verified independently by two edim. Two witnesses came and said this was a good shtar. So what are they arguing about? V'hocha b'koisvin shoivor k'mifligi. They're arguing whether if the lender comes to the borrower and says, give me my money back, and the borrower says, no problem, give me the shtar back, and the lender says, I'm sorry, I've misplaced the shtar, I'll give you a receipt. Now it's not so good that for the borrower, because the borrower is going to have to keep this receipt for the rest of his life and protect it, that it shouldn't get lost or eaten by animals. Because if he doesn't keep the receipt, who knows, at some point later, the lender may find that document and claim the money. And if the borrower loses the receipt, he's going to have to pay again. So the question is, can the lender force the borrower to accept a receipt and force him to pay up, even though he's not giving him back the original document? And that's the argument. Hocha b'koisvin shoivor k'mifligi. Tanas kama sovar. The Tanakhama say that you can force him to take a receipt. And therefore, here's the money. He takes the money, the lender takes the money, he gives the borrower a receipt. Now the borrower has the receipt, there's zero value left to the original document. And therefore, once it's been paid off, he's potter if he carries it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Koisvin Shoivar. Rabbi Yehuda says that you cannot force the borrower to take a receipt. And even if you do force the borrower to take a receipt, even if he does take a receipt, at any point, the borrower can go back to the lender and say, either find me my document or give me back my money. It's a big chiddush that Rashi says that here, and there's no other source for that, but Rashi says here that the borrower can actually demand his money back from the lender if he doesn't give him the document back. And therefore, there's value to the document even after it's been paid, because he has to give it back to the borrower. And therefore, if the lender carries this shtar on Shabbos, even though it's been paid off, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be chayev, because he needs to keep this shtar in order to give it to the borrower in the place of that receipt, because otherwise the borrower is going to demand his money back. That was Rava's explanation. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi is the first time, it's the fourth explanation, but Rashi says that it's not talking about that the lender is got this shtar and carries it on Shabbos, which is what Rav Yosef Abaye and Rava said. Rav Ashi says we're talking about the borrower. If the borrower has this shtar, and he carries it on Shabbos, mipnei shetzorich lar'oisei lebal choiv sheini, de omar lei chozi gavro de poro ano. we're talking about that this document's been paid off, and the borrower now has this document in his own rishus. According to the Chachomim, there's no use to it. The borrower has no interest in keeping this document. On the contrary, he's afraid that if it gets lost, then the lender may find it and claim his money again. And therefore, according to the Chachomim, once it's been paid off and the shtar has been given back to the borrower, there's no value to it, and if you carry it, you're potter. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, Rabbi Yehuda says that the borrower is going to keep this shtar in order that he can show other people, potential people who are going to lend him money, potential lenders, look, I'm a reliable person. I pay back. You see, I borrowed money from this person, and you see, I have the shtar in my hand. I paid it off. You can see I'm reliable. And therefore, the borrower has value in keeping this document, and therefore you carry it on Shabbos, you're chayev. And that's why Rav Yehuda says that even if it's been paid off, and now the borrower has the shtar, if he carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev. And in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.